The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stepmiller, here with you on this Thursday. Already, folks, the 18th of February, 2021. We're in a short month, and I have Roger Landry on with me, whose pipes have thawed. Does that does that mean your voice or your house pipes?
What? Yeah, well, that's a valid question, considering I live in an area where this is a once-in-a-century happening. So, yeah, and I'm sure you know something about that too, John.
Well, I'll tell you, there is a lot of conflicting information going on here. First, I want to start out by saying that down here in Texas, folks, there have been a lot of people suffering under a lot. We had the banking crisis of 2008, and that's actually the biggest bank ripoff of human beings ever witnessed. Let's put that in proper, proper perspective. And then we had the scandemic, and now we've got this. Now, millions of people, according to news sources here in Texas, less than 1 million people are still left without power. At one point, it peaked at almost 5 million. And the reason why this came about, oh, there's a lot of different reasons, and we're trying to weed our way through this, but it's a company called ERCOT. Now, Roger, do you remember a company, and I don't know, it's eerily similar, do you remember Enron?
You mean the one that did an end run around most people right straight to their wallet?
Well, and this was the last-ditch attempt for Enron, Ken Lay, and Jeffrey Skilling to pull their
butts out of the fire.
That's right.
Basically.
And what they did was went into partnership with PG&E out in California, turned around, did this rolling blackout theory, and then bilked the users of the power in California for more than $30 billion. Now, I'm not suggesting that ERCOT had the same plan in mind, but understand quick profit-taking, and that might fill in a lot of blanks. Another thing interesting about this, our governor down here says, well, we're going to investigate these people. And I'm like, really? Well, they're not even in Texas. One is in Spain. One's in Michigan. They're spread out all over the place. They're not even here in Texas. But they took the bold move of shutting down the power grids. Now, I want people to understand, in this country, we got three major power grids: the commercial for the rest of the U.S., the West Grid, the East Grid, and then there's Texas. And ironically, Roger, guess how this came about? By way of the Democrats back in the 80s.
Yeah.
That we, down here in Texas, we said, you know what, you can have all your shenanigans and your federal this and your, you know what, we're going to go independent. Now, these were the Democrats of the 80s.
You can't secede from a union if you can't keep the lights on.
That, And this, and again, there is serious conversation going on with our state legislatures down here.
Yep.
That are saying that, you know what, it might be time, things are bad enough, it might be time for us to pull the plug on the union and to become the independent Republic of Texas once again.
Texas is in a very unique position to do that, because when Texas joined the union, they left a little buffer in there for a situation something like this that may occur sometime in the future. It would be more of a path for any other state to try and do the same thing. But for Texas, it would actually be a little easier.
Well, and what's really sad about this, and I have been YouTubing it, and Mike, you've been at my house. Poor Mike here has been a prisoner. He did his normal shift Monday, but he's been pulled. You did your normal shift. Let the host talk. Let him finish. Okay? You guys can hear Snurdly Jr. back here. But at any rate, he did his regular shift. He did his regular shift Monday. And then Tuesday and yesterday and today, he's been pulling double shifts. He's going to have like 84 hours in this week. So the callers will call into the network for the balance of the week. Be kind to this guy, because without him, you just would have been hearing reruns. Because we only have three board ops, and one lives in Dallas that has to drive down to the network on the weekends. The other one, Miss Julie, just got her power back on today. She was in her bed, I guess it was yesterday, and trying to keep warm. And her husband are laying in bed with multiple covers on, trying to snuggle and keep warm, and then they hear the pipes burst in their walls. Now, folks, I'm here to tell you there is... Let me put it to you this way. The aforementioned banking crisis, scandemic, of which you watch how fast the governor pulls out of this coronavirus crap after this dies down, because people in Texas have had enough and they're pissed. And there's one thing about Texans y'all have to understand. It takes us a long time to get to that point where we're just seething, pissed off, mad. But we're there, and one thing to always remember is we never forget. So, having said all that, and Mike was at my house, and I've got this YouTube thing on my little computer box, and I was getting a completely different YouTube than most other people will get. It wasn't as heavily censored. And I was seeing story after story, and you know how you go in the thread, the automatic intelligence thing, the user wants to see this, so we'll keep piling on the story. I kept getting the stories. I kept playing them. And what I was hearing is call centers, people calling into call centers all across Texas, pleading literally for their lives. One woman, her husband is an ex-Vietnam vet. He had Agent Orange cancer. He's in bad shape. He was on oxygen. He spent 2 days in his car trying to stay warm. His wife is on the phone in tears. This is real tragedy, and we don't know what the death count is. They're saying, oh,
it's over 30.
Well, no, that's just the bodies they've discovered. Yeah, this is why the day before yesterday you heard our governor down here, well, maybe we'll enlist the National Guard. What, you mean the ones who are still in Washington, D.C.? To go house to house to do wellness checks on people. Well, they're going to be finding that people aren't well because they're frozen to death in their homes. This is not over by a long shot, Roger. Not by a long shot. And this did not have to happen. We're in an area. We got more natural gas, more oil. We even got nuclear power down here. We don't need any of this solar crap. And when I say solar crap, Roger, we're going to go green one way or another, whether it's going to be in a sane way, manageable, not throwing people out of jobs, converting. And they've got to understand, Roger, that there are changes that are made that somebody's good idea, and then it just snowballs, and then it's left alone. And what I'm referring to is, well, I'll give you a quick example, and I know you're not good at sitting quiet, so I'll make this fast.
I don't think I've ever shut up for 10 minutes in my life.
I don't think you have either. Besides, I got a mute button, so anyhow, down here in Texas, folks, and it's like this... remember Eisenhower? What did we do after World War II? we did this national Let's Build a Highway program, and we did high-speed freeways and kept adding to them and adding to them and adding to them. But what did we do? We left the rail go. You want to know the reason why there's no high-speed rails in this country? While China has 19,000 that they built in the last 10 years alone, and they got trains that run 200 miles an hour? I mean, man, I mean, that's, but there's one problem. There's no private property. China owns everything in China. So if they needed to go right through a city, what eminent domain? We're going through the city. Get the hell out of the way. But the point is that there's so many rules and regulations and whatever else. This rail system in this country was left to rot away after World War II. And what you're seeing, and this ties back into what happened last Thursday here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, where six people died in one traffic pileup that did not have to take place because it was piss-poor planning on their part not to even, quote-unquote, treat the flyovers. Well, again, the flyovers is because they're trying to route traffic out of ever bigger cities, and they're pulling their hair out trying to do it. Other modes of transportation have not been made available. It's been a closed loop. Now, I could go on, Roger, for that for the next half hour, but I won't, in deference to you. But it's just not one thing here. So I'm going to be watching this situation down here in Texas very closely. And we're going to start pinning the tail on the donkey where it belongs to be pinned. But suffice it to say, this ain't over. And we have been pretty magnanimous here in Texas. When Katrina let loose, the people in the Ninth Ward and all of New Orleans were underwater. Did we tell people coming into Texas? And I was part of helping people transition and get the hell out of there. We didn't ask them what their skin color was. We didn't ask them what their politics were. We helped them. Unfortunately, and I'm here, folks, not as an advocate or anti-black. You already know where my stand is. But what we did do was import a large criminal element right into Texas that festered in Austin, that festered in Dallas, that festered in Houston. These are people that didn't have the cultural wherewithal to meld into the population of Texas. To go down here, folks, we don't go around going, we're going to string up all the niggers down here. This is not Texas, folks. No matter how much people want to make you believe that the white people in this country want to kill all the black people, the systemic racism is a big, gigantic one mother of a fat lie. I left the office here yesterday, and I was on my way home, and there was this woman kind of like stopped in the middle of the road, and I pulled up, and she rolled a window down, and I said, ma'am, you okay? And she said, yeah. She says, I was just having a hard time driving. I'm trying to get off the road here so I can make some phone calls. And I said, well, ma'am, you're kind of hanging out in the roadway. Can you move a little bit? And she said, oh, yeah, sure. I didn't realize. The woman was black. I was white. She was thankful that I stopped. This is how we treat people in Texas, folks. Because you're black or any other color, there's not a built-in prejudice here that we want to string you up up on the first tree we run across that can bear your weight. Roger, I'm sick of this crap.
Yeah, and you're also abusing your staff. Poor Mike having to work 84 hours in a week. Wait a minute. I'll trade jobs with him. That's only half the hours I put in each week.
Yeah, and
I'm jealous now.
Well,
I'm kidding.
And
we do appreciate what he does because he keeps your shows and RBN going out to all of these people. Isn't that nice?
Well, and here's an unheard of thing, Roger. For a network with 17 hours a day of live broadcasting and what, more on the weekend, I think. But at any rate, we do this with three board operators. We run an entire network with three board operators.
Well, why don't you do something to cheer them up? If they're going to be bored all day, I mean, that's your fault.
Oh, they're not bored. Oh, no.
You said you have three bored operators.
You know, there's one thing I wish you would stay away from.
Humor?
Yeah. No, I'm teasing. See, now that was my joke back to you, and you're not laughing.
No, actually, I am.
Doesn't sound like it.
Well, it doesn't have to sound well,
put,
like
put
it.
Put the microphone lower down. You must be laughing out of your navel or something. I don't know. I'm missing it.
Well, it's not exactly my navel, but you're getting close.
By the way, that brings something to mind. Last night, there was somebody in my sleeping in my house. Their farts were so loud, they woke me up. He just turned and looked at me. What did you just say? Again, I'm teasing. Anyway. So.
All right. You have talked for, I don't know, the opening 15 minutes about something that I absolutely knew because of our discussion prior to the show that you were going to dedicate some time and some stress bleeding to. So, no, I wasn't sitting here waiting in vain. I figured you needed to get off your chest what you got off your chest. But as usual, when you've finished something, I usually say something like this. This is going to sound familiar. John's exactly right. He makes some sterling points, but let's take it to the next level. Okay, we have been talking about, John and I, on the last, I'd say, 10 shows we've done, we've always dedicated a little bit of time to the globalist, to what we call the elitist caste, to those who have so much money that people like you and me and John, we have no significance. Don't even think I'm joking. I'm not. We're even lower than the pawns on the chessboard or the checkers on the checkerboard. That's not a guess. So the easiest way, and as usual, John Sterling Point brings up 2008. The biggest, probably in history up to that point, the biggest transfer of wealth in human history. And you've all heard me say before, what most of you don't know, that between $21 and $29 trillion, depending on who you listen to, was printed up by the Federal Reserve and passed around the planet to countries and major businesses. Not a joke, an absolute fact. But they knew that the system wasn't going to last forever, and preparations had to be made. You are looking at a controlled collapse, and we've also discussed this, a controlled collapse of economies across the planet. The Great Reset is a monetary reset because it was inevitable. The problem for them was, can we do it and come out on top on the other side? Because if 2008 would have continued as a natural occurrence, which it very well could have, it would have broke them as well. So now the stress is all on how much can we bleed out of, how much can they bleed out of you and me and we the people, with how many mechanisms are at their control. We're talking about huge corporations. We're talking about power across one of the largest states in the country. We're talking about one of the most progressive, whether you're talking about industry, whether you're talking about population, Texas is it. So where are you going to hit first? You're going to hit first where the picking is good. And if anybody out there thinks this is only happening in Texas, you're not looking at the news. Why are we hearing more about it from Texas than anywhere else? Because it's Texas. But that stuff's happening in Arkansas. That stuff's happening in, and I could go on and on. It is. It is. And John, you had every reason to go off. You have every reason to be upset. And I used to live in Texas, and I'm looking at this and going, how the hell, with what portends to be the best of all states out of 50, can this crap be happening?
I don't know. But, Roger, I just know, and I have a tendency to try to shield myself from emotional involvement in stuff because it can taint and sway you, okay? I don't know how to adequately describe that, but you have to be a little thicker skinned. You have to be a little bit more callous to get through some of this stuff. But I got to tell you something. When you're hearing a newborn, when you're hearing a mother with a 2-month newborn on the phone going, how am I supposed to keep my baby from freezing to death? God almighty. You know, the constructs that we make and the damages that we do to each other, and I'm including myself in that because I'm part of the human race. I'm down here in Texas. I'm part of the United States of America, or at least for the time being. But as a people, as a country, suffering under the idiots of all idiots and corporatocracy, Roger, you know, everybody, and I will admit I'm partly guilty myself with calling them communist and socialist. This is only the game for the globalist to bring us under a system that's going to be a corporatocracy, or I guess that would pretty much fit it. And then there's subsections to that, but it's a corporatocracy. Oh, yeah. Is what it is. It's going to be the banks and the powerful corporations that are going to be ruling and commanding. The hell with you. The hell with what is in the best interest of you in your own country, living in your own culture, doing your own thing. We don't think you have the right to do that anymore. And we're going to take over.
They have to break us first. They absolutely have to. And thus COVID-19. Thus the lockdowns, thus all of the businesses closing. But let's take your point, oh God, I love saying this, to the next level, because you made a sterling point. Let's talk about corruption. I dare anybody to really look at the $1.9 trillion, okay, bailout or whatever the hell you want to call it, that they are right now still trying to get passed through. I would like you to take a look at the last one. What you're going to find out is that because of what's happening in Texas, all of a sudden the government's going to send a huge amount of money to Texas, and a lot of that's not actually going to do anything but end up in somebody's bank account. Mm-hmm. Not a guess, an absolute fact. Why don't we ask the governor of California, who sent hundreds of millions of dollars for masks and stuff to communist China and never got it. But how much of the kickback do you think Newsom got? And to this date, nobody, not even the FBI, will look to see. Gee, I would like to know why. What we are looking at when we say $1.9 trillion is about, I don't know, maybe $600-700 billion, which is a lot of money coming to us. That's the $1,400 kickback to keep us quiet. And all the rest of those trillions end up in corporate pockets. Not a guess. Please look for yourself. Go to the last one if you can't find out what's in this one yet. Because believe me, they're eerily similar.
Roger, I've wanted to ask you this question for quite some time.
Yeah.
What happened to the antitrust laws?
Oh God, what a beautiful question. You see, I've done other shows where I bring up the antitrust laws and people are like, what? Huh? Why the heck was, I don't know, what was it? God, the huge oil, Standard Oil, okay? It was a monopoly. Why? Because it could control the gas, the cost of gas, almost across the entire United States because it owned most of those gas stations. It owned most of the delivery systems for the fuel, so on and so forth. It was a monopoly. Mm-hmm. AT&T, same thing. It was a monopoly. And we could go on and on. And John's question is absolutely valid. Why the heck isn't big tech on the X? Why are we not making them public corporations? Why are they allowed to have a monopoly? We go through Section 230, which says you are basically a utility, which means you can't be responsible for what's said on your platform because you're a utility. But a utility, that would be like the phone company coming online and saying, hey, we've been listening to part of your conversation and we don't like it, so you can't use our phone company anymore. They can't do that. But that's exactly what big tech is doing. Okay? That's exactly what many other corporate entities are doing. They have put themselves in position now to have more control over the government than the government has over them. Antitrust laws today, you couldn't find enough lawyers to litigate all of the necessary antitrust laws that should be litigated in this country right now. John, that was probably the A++++ question of the day.
Well, it's just something that's been gnawing at me for quite some time because we keep complaining, and and you know this better than anybody else on this planet knows this. As a matter of fact, I just heard, the great Sean Hannity, the $250 million baby, with Dan Bongino, which was part of, I forget the platform that they were canceled from. I'll think of it here in a second, but at any rate. And Sean Hannity's going, well, you know, maybe it's about time we go out there and start our own platforms. Duh. Well, and guess what you've been working on all this time? For three and a half years. This has not been missed on you because, ladies and gentlemen, let me explain something to you. The prime ingredient for freedom and liberty is the ability to speak of it. To utter it above a whisper, of which a lot of people are starting to do. They're becoming conditioned. They're afraid to espouse their conservative views because there might be backlash. I watched a montage on this YouTube channel, which, again, I have not seen before, but it included more stuff. Somebody had compiled a 15-minute video of the Democrats during the 2016 election run. During and after, and all as you kept hearing was, we're going to fight them, fight. If I heard the word fight once, I heard it enough times to pay the entire bill for this network for a month, Roger.
Yep.
For an entire month.
I heard it as well.
And it's fight, fight, fight. Well, excuse me, what are you fighting? Well, I'll tell you what they're fighting. They're fighting the people that want to maintain the status quo, some semblance and resemblance of a constitutional republic. We recognize, maybe all people are not verbalizing it and letting it gel in their head this way, but this is a political coup in this country, regardless of what the law is.
Regardless. It's not a political coup. Again, you're right. It has to go one step further. This is not a political coup. Just like it won't be communism or socialism, it'll be a corporatocracy. This is a corporate coup.
All right.
100% money-based global coup.
Well, see, this is why you and I do these broadcasts, because I'm the guy that puts the salt or the sand on the end of the icy dive board so you don't slip on your way up. We're coming up on a break here in just a couple of minutes. Folks, and again, let me take a minute here, please. Let me take a minute here to tell people that you need to support this network. And we've got people that are being overworked. We're stressed out down here. But the one thing that concerns me, and I've made sacrifices before, I've had stuff cut off, I've almost had my house taken away from me, because I put this network at a priority over my own personal comfort or safety. Let's just put it that way. So we're going to be changing this in the near future, right, Raj?
You know, if I could choke you, I would.
I know, but I'm too damn far away from you. And besides, it's slippy outside. You get about 10 feet out your front door, and you'd slip and fall. But, you know, folks, please, call.
Listen to what he's saying, and yes, there will be an announcement in the next 10 days to 2 weeks that backs up pretty much what he's saying. And if he says any more, I'm hanging up.
Well, then it's going to be too late, isn't it? At any rate. Call the network, 800-724-2719, extension 3. Talk to the overwork Mike so he can get paid this week for all of his hours. he'll be happy to take that. Or go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org. And folks, if you still are employed and you still have an income and you want a voice of freedom out there to continue, we know why you're here every day. It's the same reason why we're here every day for you. And it sure as hell ain't to make money. Okay, so go to the website, republicbroadcasting.org. Hit that donate button. Consider a monthly donation or a one-time donation and a monthly donation. It won't hurt. It's only going to help all of us.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast two-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen plan to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Oh, take this badge off me. I can't use it anymore. It's been too dark to see. Felt like knocking on heaven's door.
All right, folks, let me reiterate, because we were late getting back because the guy decided he wanted to call me on the studio phone here, and I had to drag Mike in, and he's talking to him, and we're late coming back from break. When you call into the network, 800-724-2719, extension 3123. Okay. Thank you, Michael. At any rate. So, Raj.
Yeah.
We have the bump back in after break, and that just broke my train of thought. So say something here and bail me out, will you?
I won't bail you out, but again, what we've been talking about here is everybody seems to misunderstand what's going on in America. Everybody seems to think this is just one unlucky break right after another. Everybody here seems to think that this is the way things would have gone regardless, and none of this is true. We know that 4 years ago, almost 5 years ago, Gates and a bunch of other people got together in Event 21 or 201 and put together this entire scenario. We know that 190 nations were either a part of or had been consulted on exactly what was going to go on and so forth. How many people have written articles that you have read recently that state this all seems like something that was planned before it started? It was. We started out by telling you 2008 was one of the biggest money grabs for the upper echelon, the elitist, in the history of the planet. We told you about this. We also told you that it necessitated a bubble that was not going to expand forever, and we're at the limit of it right now. Your great reset is only great for those at the top who will absorb about 90% or more of the capital on this planet. What's going to be left is you and social points. That's going to be your money. Most of you are going to work from home. You're going to work from home, and what you're going to earn is digital money or digital credits. Everything you purchase, it doesn't matter whether it's porn, it doesn't matter whether it's drugs, you won't be able to purchase anything because there won't be any physical money anymore. So everything you buy will be tracked. Everything you do will be put into patterns, patterns that can be used to get you to or to influence you to think one way, or to purchase things one way, so on and so forth. This is the digital society we're headed into. And it cannot happen. This global reset cannot happen unless the most vibrant and the most powerful economic engine the planet has ever seen is brought to its knees. Why do you look at global news and the vast majority of it's talking about America? Because I'm not the only one that knows what I just told you. Anybody who thinks that the politics in this country right now, that COVID-19 right now, and that the local governors that are getting rich beyond belief, do a little research, people, are all separate issues and would have happened anyway, you're an idiot, because they're not. We are living through something that has been planned for a long time. And if we don't wake up and do some pushback, and I'm not talking about violence. There are many mechanisms, but if we don't, the only blame is going to be on us.
Well, China, and we're getting conflicting stories about China.
Yep.
Vladimir Putin, apparently, yep. Xi and Putin aren't down with the global reset.
Nope.
Apparently, in this country, we now have leadership in this country. It's going to open up its arms wide for it. But the population of this country, the thinking part, anyhow, has said...
It's the G20.
I'm sorry?
It's the G20. It's the Western world that this resets for. It is the Western world. Anybody else they can suck in, that works too. But it's the Frances, it's the Germanys, it's the Great Britons, it's the United States, Canada, Australia, the nations of importance that have influence. All of them need to be brought under the same umbrella. But you cannot bully the rest of the world until you've proven to them how powerful you are by taking the cowboys of the world to their knees first. And this is what you're living in America right now. We are under a concerted attack. And when something lets up, something else is already going. Toto just continues to pull back one curtain after another. Tell me where I've got this wrong. We are 35 to 40% to where they want us to be right now, including the destruction of massive amounts of small and medium-sized business.
Well, and that's why I'm looking at Abbott now. And I don't have anything but intuition to run on at this point, and I'll readily admit that. And this is my opinion. But I think our dear governor, after the snow melts and things get... This is Texas, folks, and it ain't going to be anywhere close to normal, but better than it is right now. I think you're going to see the governor kind of roll back on this COVID-19 crap. Let the businesses reopen. Let's get on with this. Because not only did they rob people of their savings, their livelihood, their well-being, their families, the stability of the families. Roger, I can't emphasize this enough, folks. This was an attack on the American family.
Yes.
That's what this was about. It was
your governor.
God.
Your governor, if anybody doesn't understand this, the things that are going on in Texas, a lot of them wouldn't or couldn't go on without the consent or the ignorance or the ignorance of your governor. Anybody who doesn't believe that this guy isn't part of an elitist caste, maybe he's not in the top tier, but he's damn close. But let me explain something else to you, okay? If he has any ties at all to those who wish to keep him in power, the last thing they're going to want him to do is to push secession. That's the last thing they're going to want. So, John, as usual, you hit the nail right on the head. Well, as soon as this weather lets up and he can, he's going to start relaxing things to the point where, why should we secede? It's not so bad anymore.
Well, and
that
there,
will be his task.
And here's my conundrum, because I've made my feelings known here on secession. Yep. I don't want to see Texas break into 5 states. I don't want to see states of the union breaking away from the union, because what is good for the goose is good for the gander, folks. Either we have freedom and we have liberty and we have the right to rule over ourselves, not be ruled over like we're subjects of the crown. All things being equal, I want to see the United States of America remain united, but not under an administrative asshat federal government or an administrative asshat state government. I want to get back to the business of deconstructing their administrative state, getting back to the common sense, common law principles that don't benefit freaking lawyers and companies.
You said maritime law, or common law. What most people here, again, don't seem to understand is every once in a while you hear John and I talk about the Act of 1812, okay? I mean, of 1871. That was when the United States became a corporation. Okay, if you take a look at everything, okay, that's associated with that, that supplanted the original Declaration of Independence and the original Constitution and the original Bill of Rights. But let's take that forward a little bit more. If this is in fact a corporation, what does that say about what you're talking about, John?
Oh, I don't see. Let me see. Let me take the oath here. I pledge allegiance to the corporation of America.
Yeah.
No, no. And the democracy for which they want to make it stand. I mean, let me get this out. This is just not a reset, a financial global reset, because of all the debt they intentionally ran us into. Again, the Mac Daddy Hegelian principle. They started it. They're demonstrating how bad it is. And now they're going to give you the solution that's supposed to make you breathe better. Well, no, they want you to stop breathing. The problem here is twofold. It is twofold. It's not only the reset, but it's also the intentional flipping of this form of government into their brand new political reset called a democracy. And Roger, this is another thing that bugs me, that bugs the living crap out of me. Any good American that knows the system that we have here should be correcting. And I don't care if it's a talking head. I don't care if it's a news desk anchor. I don't care if it's a politician. I don't care if it's Joe Blow on a street getting videoed. I don't give a damn who, what, where, and how it is. The next freaking time you hear them call this country a democracy, punch them in the face and just relegate it to Donald Trump. He radicalized me. No, I'm serious. I'm serious. I'm sick and tired of hearing this government that we're supposed to have that's been magically transformed by their dirty deeds and words that this is a democracy. It is not a democracy. This is why, Roger, they wanted to get rid of the Electoral College. This is why they want the popular vote, so they can fix it easier the next time. It's not so hard, it's not so easy to go the back door here and fix an entire election and have to worry about the electoral votes and all this other stuff. No, 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 no. We want it easier for you to vote out there.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's all true. It's all true. But it all has to be based on law. It all has to be based on either constitutional law, federal law, state law. It has to be based on law. And what you stipulated not too long ago, which is the point I've been trying to get back to, is that we are and were intended to practice common law in this country. With the Act of 1871, it was switched to maritime law.
Oh, Roger, you're just destroying people's view of America. They want to believe that the government is here to help them, and this is just all wild-eyed conspiracy theory. No, I mean,
maritime law is an entire different basis of law. I've said this on your show maybe once before. I don't know if anybody remembers, so I'm going to reiterate. If you commit a crime or you are accused of committing a crime that has federal overtures and you end up in a federal court in, say, Ohio or Michigan or Florida, it doesn't matter the state, the judge overseeing that case, this is maritime law, okay? The judge overseeing that case has only authority in the 10 to 12 square miles, depending on who you talk to, of Washington, D.C., and U.S. territories and protectorates like Guam and Puerto Rico. Federal judges have zero authority in any of the 50 sovereign states. How many of you know that? That is an absolute fact. So when John stated, we're not even practicing common law.
No.
What most of you didn't understand is just how big the sham is. How many trillions of dollars over the last couple of centuries? How many prison sentences? How many, and I could go on and on, were instituted by judges that never had the power to do it in the first place?
Ironically, Roger, I was having a phone conversation with a gentleman today that has been studying this for many, many years. I've got to dive down his rabbit hole to get a greater understanding. But this is exactly what he was saying. And I brought up a good point. I said, you know, I said you haven't addressed to me the issue of the conversion of rights. In other words, we have the freedom of movement.
Yep.
You know, freedom of speech, assembly, and all that stuff, and how we move about, it should be of our own choice and decision. Since we built, thank you, Mr. Eisenhower, an entire country that drives by car, it's really not practical to hop on the old steed and go down I-35. It's going to present some problems. Yes. So what they did was they decided that, well, we're going to regulate the commercial people out there to make it safe. So they did for the truck drivers and the mail delivery people and the taxi drivers and the, and then somebody got the bright idea, well, wait a minute, let's put them all under this commercial thing and issue driver's licenses to everybody. Yep. And that is a conversion of a right to a privilege. And I even had that state trooper tell me that, sticking his head in my window when I was on my way up to Washington, D.C. last month, that reminded me, you know, when you drive in Texas, that's a privilege and not a right. And I just looked at that guy and I gave him a wry smile, thanked him after he told me, I'm going to get down the road. You better not be here when I get back. And I wasn't. Thank you very much, officer. But the point to this is simply this, Roger. This is a civil infraction. But there are criminal penalties layered on top of this, and I'm going to bring this guy on to explain all of this in more detail than I've ever heard before.
But you're wrong as far as when you say there are all kinds of criminal activities layered. And in some cases,
criminal penalties layered on top of a civil infraction, jail time, and everything else.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Let me go to the phones here. Chris in Virginia, is it? Chris, go ahead.
Yeah, it's and they're not Democrats or liberals anymore either. They're commies. Period. All of them, right?
Are you asking me to agree, or are you making a statement?
No, I was making a statement to your earlier point about changes and basically the way we describe things.
But can I ask you a question, caller? What would you expect the majority of the millennials or younger in this country to be when the teachers that teach them in their most formative years, especially a vast number of the professors in colleges throughout this country, are professed Marxist or professed communist?
Nothing different. Nothing different from
That's
what they
exactly
are.
What you're seeing. It is the dumbing down of America. It is the institution of programmed ignorance.
I'll tell you how bad, Chris, I'll tell you how bad it is. Out in California, they defunded school cops, but now they've got the campus cops out, and guess what they are? They're climate control police. I kid you not.
No, I know. I got it.
I was going to make the quick, I just had a comment, and I'll let you guys go.
Okay.
I don't know if anybody else has talked about this, but I haven't heard a single kind word or comment coming from Washington about Texas. Have you guys?
No, as a matter of fact, Ted Cruz took a long planned vacation to get the hell out of freezing Texas, and he cut his vacation short.
What does that say? Because they would be blaming Trump right now for what's going on in Texas.
But you know what? I don't think it would quite go over the way it's going to go over with the White House. You know, expect a web of very carefully spun lies. It's not going to make any sense whatsoever when you add it all up. But yeah, they would be trying, but I can guarantee you the governor of Texas would be on the phone with Donald Trump, and Trump wasn't a man to take crap from anybody. And if he felt you were wrong on an issue, he would tell you you were wrong. At least the man had the ability to speak his own opinion and make it known and not equivocate.
You're going to see this all across the southern border with Mexico. Every state that borders the southern border is going to end up in a riff with this administration. I guarantee it, because if they don't push back, Biden is going to make their lives miserable beyond belief.
Now is the time. If we don't push back now, but the Americans that are left, if we don't push back now, it's over.
That's right. I couldn't agree with you more. Thank you, Chris. I appreciate you holding. I wasn't going to really open up the phone to answer calls, but he snuck in here under the wire, and once he's here,
very good.
You know, it's like catching the last roller coaster ride at the amusement park. You know, once you're in the gate, I can't tell you to get the hell off the ride. You know what I'm saying? At any rate,
the points being made in this entire show tonight, and you know I have to go in a couple of minutes, points being made they all harken back to the same thing, okay? There are so many things actually going on around us that if you're not terrified and you're not seriously affected, then you're confused.
Okay, let me correct you. Since this is your new fashion to correct me.
I don't correct you. I take it to the next level.
Okay. Why didn't you go into politics? No, never mind.
I can answer that. I actually do have an answer for that.
I didn't ask that. That wasn't a legitimate question. But what I'm
doing... Give me a quick answer. Give me a 30-word answer, okay? I didn't go into politics because of the same reason I've been here for 12 years doing this. This is all about eradicating programmed ignorance, and being a politician is the antithesis of that.
Not even a good politician? Maybe not even approaching statesman level?
A good politician that's been there more than 10 or 15 or 20 years actually still thinks they're a good politician. The guy standing off to the side and watching, he don't think so anymore.
See, I've got a record. This is how many times I've been reelected. Okay. If that's your smell test, phew, you flunked.
And this is how much I owe to the people that make sure I get reelected.
All right. Since I let one in the gate, I might as well let another one in here. And I know you got to go in 4 minutes. Kelly and Austin, this is your day, bud.
Hi, John.
How you doing?
I heard you mention Katrina earlier, and I want to give you a Katrina story if you could take one.
Quickly.
We lived in Lafayette, Louisiana for a number of years. That's my hometown. And we looked back there for about another 6 years in the early 2000s at the time that Katrina hit. Mm-hmm. And my wife, one of the nicest people I ever want to meet, volunteered to go down to Blackham Coliseum near the university and over there to the Cajun Dome to help out with these people.
Right.
Well, she quit not long after that, and many other people who went down there quit as well because they said they weren't doing anything to help themselves. They just sat on their butts all day long, and they expected everybody else to just wait on them.
Uh-huh.
And the Cajun Dome, which is on the university property down there, it's a big complex down there.
Right.
The state had to spend $5 million or more to renovate the damn thing after they left because these jackasses did things like they were flushing bricks down down toilets, they were tearing out seats, everything. And so what they left was just a trail of destruction. And I remember we lived in a beautiful old neighborhood, a classic old neighborhood, out near the university. And we had an old bungalow house built back in 1930.
Okay, short.
They came into the neighborhood and they left trash all over the damn place. And people that might have been sympathetic to what they were going through very quickly said, no more, get the hell out of this city. And they finally ran them out.
Well, and there's cultural disparity there, isn't there?
Yeah, absolutely there is, because that was all Ninth Ward. That was all Ninth Ward overflow.
Yeah.
And what happened was that was the overflow that couldn't fit into Baton Rouge.
Yeah.
We had 40,000 of these people coming into Lafayette.
Kelly, I got to let you go.
Thanks for taking the call, man. I love you guys.
All right.
Thanks, Kelly.
And that is the problem. And I'm going to be addressing this in the weeks and months to come. I'm going to be bringing on guests on this program. Black people, that's right, other than white, O-T-H, other than white people, to talk about honestly discussing the problems that blacks have had in this country and this victimhood status that they wear like a shield. We're going to be talking about that in the future, and we're going to present it in such a way. And it cannot be construed as being racist. Not that I would give a crap if somebody wants to call me a racist, because I'm not. I speak common sense. That's all that I'm interested in. And resolving conflict and problem. But you're going to want to have to help yourself. Down here in Texas.
Common sense.
Yeah.
Common sense under common law for the common good.
Oh, brother. Say that one more time.
Common sense under common law. For the common good. End of story.
That might be one of the greatest quotes that have never been written down, and we should write it down.
Well, look, I really appreciate you inviting me on. I don't always have the time to do something like this, but I think I've actually told you I couldn't do it one time in the last year. So, This is a mechanism for me to do what I promised everybody I was going to do 12 years ago.
Okay.
I'm going to eradicate some programmed ignorance.
Well, I'll tell you, that funny sound you're going to be hearing in your head is going to be me going tick-tock, tick-tock, tick-tock.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, then.
For anybody who doesn't know, John is a hell of a guy, but he can be obnoxious as hell, and I kind of like that about him, too.
It's all part of the package. I'm sorry.
Yes, it is.
Thank you, Roger.
You're welcome, and thank you.
All right, sir. Talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye-bye. All right, second hour coming up. you're going to understand in about 7 or 10 days what we're laughing so much about and how I've been needling the great Mr. Landry. That's not a coach, an ex-coach of a football team. We'll be back.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We have a special promotion going on at Republic Broadcasting. This is a fundraiser for Republic Broadcasting involving the Energy Planner. Mail me a postcard. My address is at my website at thelibertyman.com. We pick a postcard every other Thursday. When your postcard is drawn out, you get to buy an energy planner for $215 instead of $285, $70 discount. $200 goes to Republic Broadcasting. You also get a 10% discount on my mattress pads. So get those postcards in, put your name, your telephone number, your email address on there, and when your postcard is drawn, you get to get an energy planner for $215 instead of $285. Mattress pads, 10% off. Help us out at Republic Broadcasting and help yourself to get an engine cleaner at a deep discount. It's a win-win situation for everybody. We hope you can get these postcards in soon. Thank you very much.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.